Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for her story number 19 is writer, educator, and scholar Christina Akins. Christina holds an MA from Simmons College and a PhD in English from Tufts University, and she's currently the director of the Writing Center at Tufts University's Academic Resource Center. Her scholarly work focuses on women's literature, feminist and gender theory, and Victorian literature. Her work has been published in such journals as Gothic Studies and Critical Survey. To learn more about Christina and her work, you can follow her blog at bibliocurio.wordpress.com. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And who have you selected to share with us today?
I'm going to be talking about Charlotte Bronte.
Well, let's get started, and please tell us all just a little bit about Charlotte Bronte.
Before I leap into the biography of Charlotte Bronte, I just wanted to say that, you know, many people have heard of Charlotte Bronte or of the Bronte sisters, and there were three literary sisters referred to as the Bronte sisters, Charlotte, Emily, and Anne. And I decided to focus on Charlotte. She's my favorite of the three, and probably a lot of people's favorites, but also because I just kind of wanted to recognize that she's part of this group. It's not that often that there are literary sisters, but at the same time, she was a really individual writer, and I think too often the three of them are lumped together as though they're the same thing somehow, and so I just wanted to kind of focus on her. So Charlotte Bronte was born on April 21st, 1816, in Yorkshire, England. She was the third of six children, her early life was actually marked with a lot of tragedy. When she was four, her mother died, and then when she was 10, she was away at school with three of her sisters, one of them being Emily, and the other two were older sisters, and her two older sisters both contracted tuberculosis and died. Charlotte blamed some mismanagement of the school on their deaths, and apparently they had been complaining about certain things about the school, but it was only after her two sisters both died that her father pulled her and Emily from the school and they came home. So at this point, Charlotte was the eldest of the four remaining siblings. They had a brother named Branwell and the two younger sisters, Emily and Anne. And the four of them would spend their evenings writing stories together and creating these little books and magazines that contained stories and even advertisements, like a magazine would at the time. And it seems really obvious that the four of them really fueled a kind of imaginative energy amongst themselves and kind of spurred each other onto creativity. So the Brontes, for a Victorian family, they were relatively middle class. So for the time period, that meant that an unmarried woman in the family would be expected to somehow contribute. And either they would provide childcare in a relative's family, which is actually what their aunt did after her mother's death. She came into the family and took care of the children, or it was expected that they would become a teacher or a governess. So it was a really specific kind of way that they would contribute, either through childcare or education. And all three of these sisters tried at some point teaching or becoming a governess, and they all hated it. One of Charlotte's friends once said that Charlotte was too sensitive to be a teacher, that she would take all of the stupid little mean things that the kids said to heart, and she wouldn't be able to kind of get over it. And then in terms of being governesses, they pretty much said that private teachers were either ignored in or abused in the household. And all three of the sisters wrote about bratty kids and privileged rich parents. It kind of calls to mind some of the nanny experiences that I'm sure people have today. And the three of them tried to start their own school so they kind of be in control of this. But unfortunately, no one signed up to come to the school. So of course, that didn't work. And it's really clear that they all wanted to be authors. When Charlotte was 20, she wrote to the poet laureate, Robert Southey, for advice. And he gave one of the most famous pieces of bad advice in literary history. He told her to give up writing. He said, quote, "Literature cannot be the business of a woman's life, and it ought not to be. The more she is engaged in her proper duties, the less leisure she will have for it, even as an accomplishment and as a recreation." So Charlotte actually never threw that letter away. She kept it her whole life. And it was clearly, it meant something to her, although I personally feel like it probably spurred her on. So the three sisters were writing, and in 1846, when Charlotte was 30, she discovered that her other sisters were writing this poetry too, and she put together a collection of the three sisters' poems, and they self-published it, which means they were the ones that paid for the publication. This book sold 2 copies, so not a success, but they sent the rest of the copies out to other publishers and other poets and other writers that they respected. And at the same time, they were writing novels. So Charlotte took the opportunity to then write to a publisher and say that the three of them were all working on a novel, and they sent in their novels. Emily's was Wuthering Heights. So as you know, that got published. Anne's novel was called Agnes Grey, and that also got published. But Charlotte's first novel, The Professor, was rejected. But the publisher was complimentary and asked if she had a longer novel, and it just so happened she was working on a little novel called Jane Eyre, and she finished that up in a few weeks and sent it to them, and they liked it, so they paid her for it. They paid £500, which was about 25 times her yearly salary as a governess, and it was pretty much an overnight critical and popular success. So people wonder if authors were famous in their time, and she actually was. Everyone loved Jane Eyre. Well, I shouldn't say everyone. There were some people who felt it was too revolutionary, but we'll get to that in a moment. Unfortunately, only about a year after Jane Eyre was published, Charlotte's brother, Branwell, contracted tuberculosis, and he died. And her sister, Emily, caught tuberculosis from her brother and died 3 months later. And then her sister, Anne, also caught the same tuberculosis and died 5 months after that. So within a year, all three of her remaining siblings were deceased. So it was just Charlotte and her father left. Charlotte continued to write. She actually attributed writing to keeping her going during this time period. She wrote a novel called Shirley while she was in mourning for her siblings. And then about 4 years later, she published a novel called Villette. And over the years, she ended up meeting a lot of famous novelists, including William Makepeace Thackeray and Elizabeth Gaskell and Harriet Martineau. Eventually, she married one of her father's curates, but she died within a year of her marriage, and she died at the age of 38.
And why did you pick Charlotte as your inspirational woman in history?
Well, she's the first person that popped into my head, and it's partially just because I have always greatly admired her as a writer. I think she's a wonderful stylist. Jane Eyre is a masterful novel, even though it has been retold many times and has inspired a lot of artists, and a lot of people love the novel and have heard of it and everything. I still actually think it's kind of an underrated novel, believe it or not, even though it's so famous, because I think that the way that she writes so personally, and it's often dismissed. Even in the time, sometimes it was dismissed as being maybe too personal or too melodramatic or something like that. And I just think she should be really respected as a great novelist. I am also inspired by her persistence. I think it's amazing that she heard this advice when she was only 20 from someone that I'm sure she hoped would be a mentor to her, someone who was a very famous and respected poet, telling her not to do it, but she just ignored that advice. And the fact that her first book of poems only sold 2 copies, and then her first novel was rejected. All of these things could have turned many people off from doing it, but she had a vision and she knew that she wanted to continue to persist in this. So she's often considered to be a feminist writer, and I would agree with that, or at least a proto-feminist. But one of the things that I think is really wonderful about her is that, again, I said that she wrote from a very personal standpoint, and I think that she exemplifies the feminist idea of the personal as political. She never really writes explicitly anything like that women should have equal political rights or writing about women's suffrage or anything like that. But what she is absolutely arguing in her books is that women's emotional and intellectual lives are just as complex and important as men's. Her heroines in her novels, and mostly I'm talking now about Jane Eyre and Villette, the heroines are not beautiful, and that's actually a pretty unusual thing for the time period. She sort of challenged her sisters and said, I'm going to specifically write a novel where the heroine is not beautiful. And they're not even excessively good or anything like that. They're complex and very smart and intelligent, and the heroines connect with both the men and the women in their lives through their intelligence and their wit. The equality and the respect that she demands, this is all about women being just as capable of as men and just as important. And when her heroines are suffering, it's because they aren't being recognized as full human beings. And again, I'm specifically thinking of Lucy Snow from Villette, even more than Jane Eyre. The things that she said about governesses in Jane Eyre were considered completely radical at the time. I mean, governesses were supposed to kind of be like almost like machines that you pay to watch your kids. And the fact that she was demanding respect for them was a really bold statement at the time. Also, she writes a lot about the abuse of children and the problems with schools, the way that schools were not really promoting learning, but rather teaching kids just to be very conventional, to just follow the rules. And Dickens is the Victorian novelist that usually gets the most credit for writing about that, but actually Bronte writes about that as well, and I think it's really interesting. Jane Eyre is the type of novel that you can read over and over again and find more things in it, depending on where you are in life. When I first read it, I was about 15. And of course, at the time, the main thing I was interested in was the love story. I kind of liked the ghost story part, but I really loved the love story. And then when I got older, I was really interested in a lot of the other things, including the part at the beginning with the school and the way that she was treated as a child. I've also become really fascinated with the relationships between women in the novels. My favorite scene in that novel is the one between Jane and Miss Temple and Helen Burns, her childhood friend, and the way that they nourish each other through intellectual and emotional connections is really meaningful. And in her second novel, her second published novel, Shirley, there's this great part where towards the end, Shirley and then the main character, his name is Caroline, they've put their hair in curl papers, which is like curlers of the time, and they're talking about boys. And it's just really a great moment where it really humanizes the Victorian age and makes you think about the real lives of women at the time. And I also just like how their heroines are really shy and quiet, but they speak out when they're pushed. They have really strong opinions and they express them. I think it's hard in today's age even to be introverted. That's considered kind of weird. And Charlotte Bronte really writes about being introverted and how that doesn't mean that you don't have thoughts and ideas and feelings, and that she's taking the time to give expression to that. And then the final thing I would say just quickly is that her emphasis on personal freedom is really fascinating. So I'm going to read just a really brief passage from Jane Eyre. If you've never read Jane Eyre before, it's first person from her perspective. And she has decided that she's had enough of the job, basically, that she has, and she wants a new job. So this is what she says. I desired liberty. For liberty, I gasped. For liberty, I uttered a prayer. It seemed scattered on the wind, then faintly blowing. I abandoned it and framed a humbler supplication for change, stimulus. That petition, too, seemed swept off into vague space. Then I cried, half desperate, grant me at least a new servitude. So in that scene, she's, I guess you could say she's not really talking about liberty in a sense because she's talking about serving, but her idea of serving has to do with work, you know, and saying, well, I want to work, but I want to work in a new situation. I want to see, have a new experience. And I find it really touching and moving to think about that.
And do you have one book that you would recommend to listeners so they can start learning more about her?
Well, because I am a book nerd myself, I can't limit myself to one. I would say if you haven't read Jane Eyre, that's my one recommendation. But if you have read Jane Eyre, then I would say I would give two other recommendations. One of them is Villette, which is a novel that is often overlooked. And in fact, for many years, I didn't realize that Charlotte Bronte wrote more than one novel. And the other one would be, if you really want a biography of her, I would start with Elizabeth Gaskell's biography. And that one, the reason why I recommend it is because it's not necessarily the most accurate biography, but it's the first one that was ever written. And it was actually the first biography of a female author written by a female novelist. So you're getting two things at once. You're getting to introduced not just to Charlotte Bronte, but also to Elizabeth Gaskell, who was herself a very well-respected Victorian writer.
Well, there you have it for Charlotte Bronte. Christina, thank you so much for sharing her story with us.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.